I heard about these four Catholic ladies who were bragging to each other about their sons. One lady said, "Well, my son is a priest. When he enters a room, everyone calls him father." The other lady said, "That's nothing. My son is a bishop. When he enters the room, everyone says, 'Your grace.'" The third one said, "Oh, you guys got nothing on my son. My son is a cardinal. When he enters the room, everyone says, 'Your eminence.'" Finally, the fourth lady said, "Oh, you guys got nothing on my son. My son is 6'5". He's got wide shoulders. He's extremely good looking. He's impeccably dressed. When he enters the room, all the ladies say, 'Oh my God.'" All right. Are you guys ready to receive God's word? Okay. I can see that some of you are awake. I'm doing a climate check. Okay, good. This morning, I want to talk to you about how there's always a lesson to be learned in the painful moments that we go through. God is trying to make us holy. He's trying to make us the best version of ourselves. You know, all of us, no one is exempt, right? We all go through disappointments, times where we don't understand, setbacks, and I think it's very easy for us to become bitter or to get really frustrated with life or to get really disappointed. But one thing I learned in life is this biblical principle. God will never allow you to go through anything unless he had a divine purpose for it. So you know when you're going through a disappointment and you don't understand why, and the reason is because you don't see the big picture. It's like a puzzle. I don't know if anyone here has ever worked with puzzles, but a few months ago, my friends and I purchased this puzzle, and it was a picture of Pismo Beach, and it's really beautiful. It's breathtaking, right, on the outside. And then we took out these puzzle pieces, and we began to put them together, and I'm not really a puzzle expert, so kind of like halfway through, I was looking at some of the pieces, and I'm like, okay, this does not look beautiful. I don't think this is right. I don't even think this is the right puzzle piece. And my friends were like, "You just need to calm down. It's okay." I'm like, "I'm calm. I'm just saying, this looks hideous. I don't think it's going to look like Pismo Beach." But the thing is, you know, we know that all the puzzles have been fitted, they've been designed, and they've been shaped that way. And the reason, my friend said, why you are frustrated is because you can't see the big picture. And I was like, okay, whatever. Just finish the puzzle. But the reason I'm sharing this is this. Sometimes in our own life, we look at those puzzle pieces and it doesn't make sense, right? You just lost. People tell me, "Father, I just lost the love of my life. Or I have a special needs child. Or I didn't get that loan approved. Or I just went through chemotherapy." This can't be part of the puzzle. This can't be part of God's plan. And that's what I'm telling you. Even though you're going through those disappointments and that heartache, this is more than ever where you have to continue to learn to trust in God, because God doesn't make any mistakes. He's already laid out the pieces for your life to the smallest details. You know, God never said that we would understand everything that happens in our lives. God never said that if you're faithful to him, if you honor him, and if you obey his commands, that nothing bad will ever happen to you. Sometimes, in fact, it's almost the opposite. But what Scripture says is this, that everything will always work out for good for those who trust in God. That painful piece that you're going through right now, it may not make sense to you, but once it falls into place, when everything is there, all the ingredients are there, that's when everything will fall into place. Let's face it, you know, pain changes you, right? If you've gone through a legal battle, if you've gone through chemotherapy, if you lost a loved one, whatever challenge or disappointment that you may be going through right now, that changes who you are. I mean, when I lost my dad and my brother a few years ago, I wasn't the same after coming out of that. But here's the key. It's what we do in those painful moments, right? You can either grow bitter or you can grow better. Right? You could come out with a chip on your shoulder, blaming God, saying, "Why did you allow this to happen?" Or you could come out stronger and with greater confidence in God. You could come out whatever disappointment you're going through with, ready to give up on life, or you could come out with just this renewed vigor and just this revelation of a new self, the new opportunity of this coming of being raised to a new level in your life, trusting that God is doing something good in you. And that's where we transition in today's readings. Today's readings is what is otherwise known as apocalyptic literature. In the ordinary understanding, it is what you call the end of times. But to be more specific, the word apocalypse actually means the pulling back of the veil, right? Velum comes from Greek, which is the pulling back. It is a showing of this new kingdom. So in other words, apocalyptic literature is not so much just about the end of times as much as it is about this new revelation. That's why when they translated that word, they got in Latin revelatio, which is revelation. It's the revealing of this new kingdom, which is found in Jesus Christ. So we heard in the first reading from the book of the prophet Daniel, there's this character, Daniel, and it was during this time that there was this king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream. Daniel is the master interpreter of dreams. Now, in the seventh chapter of Daniel, he had his own dream. You know how when we dream, it's like really weird? I mean, I don't know your dreams, but when I dream, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I don't get it. I need Daniel to interpret this for me. But Daniel had his own dream, and his dream was there were four beasts coming out of the sea. The first beast looked like a lion. The second one looked like a bear. The third one looked like a leopard. And the fourth one looked like this creature with 10 horns coming out of its head. And then all of a sudden, there was this figure, divine figure, like the Son of Man, coming from the clouds. And all the power and dominion were taken away from these beasts. The four beasts represent the four kingdoms, right? First was Babylon, and then it was Persia. The third one was Greece, and then Rome. So people were wondering, where is this Messiah? You've heard that expression, messianic expectation. They were wondering, where is God now? Why are we going through this painful moment? And it was like God is saying, look, I'm still in control of the universe. There will be a coming of new age where the Son of Man, Jesus, right, in the gospel reading. If you're a first century Jew and you hear Jesus saying the Son of Man coming from the clouds of heaven, you will know he's quoting Daniel 7. But here's the point. Before people can experience this new kingdom, they had to undergo the calamities and the suffering. You know, just right now, you guys heard about what happened in France, this terrorist attack. It's horrible. We don't understand it. But like I told you, God will never allow anything unless he has a divine purpose for it. And Daniel is told that the people that are faithful to him will escape, and their names will be written in the book of the elect, and they will shine brightly like the stars. And Jesus said in today's gospel, I will send my angels to gather up the elect from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. We all go through suffering and painful moments. Well, God's challenge is this. Don't just go through it, grow through it. I learned in my own life that pain is actually an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to develop your character. It's an opportunity to develop this new sense of confidence. Any person can just give up. A lot of people already do that. Any person can allow the pain, the tribulation, and the trial to just overwhelm them. But you're not any other person. You got to remember, you're from St. Joseph, Long Beach, right? And I believe in all of you. In the gospel readings, we heard that even in the second reading, that the enemy is under God's footstool. See, we are told in scriptures that God is in charge of our lives. But I'm here to tell you that not only is God in charge of our lives, he's also in charge of the enemy. Notice that in the book of Job, Satan had to ask God for permission before he can tempt Job. So even though the enemy might light a fire in your life, what you have to remember, it's God's hand is in the thermostat. God controls everything. He controls the fire. He controls the heat. He controls the intensity. And God will never allow any of you to go to anything unless he gives you the grace and the wherewithal to overcome those challenges. Your job is not to give in to despair. Your job is to continue to understand that God is doing a change in you and he's revealing something new, which is the kingdom of God, which is Jesus Christ, that has made a dwelling place in your heart. I heard about this story. I actually read about it, about this lady. She's 47 years old. She's from Massachusetts. Her name is Judy Brown, and she had been married for 22 years. She's kind of on the heavier side, and she's always felt healthy, but one day she started to feel some kind of pain and nausea, and she didn't know what it was. So she went to the doctor. The doctor told her that she might have a virus, and so she went home, and she just kind of took some medication, but as weeks and months went by, it started to get worse. Her back started to hurt, her feet started to swell up, and she started vomiting, and she was like, what is this? It's very similar to menopausal symptoms, but she didn't know what it was. Until finally, after so many months, one night she was with her husband, and she felt this excruciating pain in her stomach, where she felt like she was gonna die. I don't know if any of you has ever felt that. She was rushed to the hospital, and she thought, this is it. You know, this is the end of my life. 90 minutes later, the doctor came back with a baby in his hand. And he said, I have good news. You have a newborn child. She didn't even know. All the pain, all the nausea, all the vomiting had a purpose. She was being changed, and she didn't know it. The reason I'm sharing this with you is I think in many ways, we are like that woman. We feel pregnant in the sense that we're going through that pain. Right, all we know is the pain and the nausea and the vomiting. God, I'm so uncomfortable. God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, why did I have to go through this? But what you have to understand is when you're going through a pain, right, God is birthing something new in you. A lot of people that have gone through pain, wonderful things have happened. God is birthing a new friendship, a new sense level of spirituality, new ministry, new relationships, new level in your spiritual life. But you have to endure the pain. When Jesus was on the cross, right, scripture tells us that Jesus endured the pain knowing the victory that was laid out in front of him. So the next time you're going through pain, instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting depressed, instead of getting disappointment, have the courage to tell God, you know what, God? I trust that you control the entire universe. And I trust that you're doing something in me. And I believe that I am growing from this pain so that I can get to the next level in my life. See, what happens with many people, why they never go to the next level, is because they give up too easily. I don't know if you've ever heard of this lady by the name of Candy Leitner. One day she went home, and then she got a phone call from the hospital that her daughter got hit by a car. If you're a parent, that's totally devastating. She was freaked out. A few hours later, she got another phone call, and then she was told that her daughter had passed away. Now, Candy could have just sat on the sidelines of life, blamed God, how could you do this? She could have just easily given up on God. But did you know that this lady used that pain to get this revelation, this new revelation that was inside of her? And she started what you all know as MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, which later became Mothers Against Drunk Driving. It was through that pain that this lady was able to be a catalyst to not only change her life, but to affect changes in the lives of so many people all over the world, well, at least across here in the United States. Some of the things that I've gone through, right, if I went through them 10 years ago, I would not react the way I do now. The reason I'm saying that is because God knows what he's doing. He knows what you need. He knows how much strength you need, when you need it, and where you need it. So the next time you're disappointed, like I said, it's not so much that pain is in your life, it's what you do with that pain. It's how you allow the pain to change you. The apocalyptic literature is not so much about the end of times as much as it is about the coming of this new kingdom, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. The goal of the church is to transform your lives. The goal of the church is to bring you peace and joy. The goal of the church is that all of you will be that light shining brightly. That's what the Revelatio is. And my prayer for all of you is, once you understand this biblical principle, that nothing will ever happen to you unless God had a divine purpose for it, and that there's always a lesson to be learned in the pain, that's when you truly become the holy, healthy, and vibrant people that God created you to be. Do you believe this? Oh, man. Can you give a shout out, amen?
Amen.
That's more like it.